You know, when you think about accountants and the word compliance, accountants always consider tax returns to be compliance, right? If you function or you specialize in compliance, you're specializing in completing returns. And that can be the case in sales tax, but sales tax compliance really encompasses more than just the monthly requirements to prepare and file a return and remit the taxes that you collected. It really is a process of learning how to comply with the various regulations and laws across multiple states.
Hello, you are listening to the Saltcast by Peisner Johnson, the sales tax people. And for the last 30 plus years, we have been providing sales tax solutions and peace of mind to everyone we talk to.
All right, Jason and Paul, thanks for being here today. It's always good to see you guys' bright, shining faces. How you guys been?
Hey, happy to be here.
Happy to be here indeed. I almost set up a Christmas tree behind me so that you could have something exciting to see, but you just get the Peisner Johnson bumblebee action.
Paul, the flower.
Going on.
Paul, you are exciting enough.
I know, but it's December, you know, we're celebrating Christmas. We got Christmas lights all down Main Street over here. The trees are all decorated. I want to bring some of that festivity in to the office today, but I didn't get to it. I'm sorry.
I still feel it. I still feel it in your voice, even though I don't see it in your screen.
Oh, good.
So I think it's there.
Well, Jason, good. I think you've been celebrating since what, October 1?
June 25th, actually, is when I began listening to Christmas music. That is officially, it's an official holiday. It's Leon Day, which is Noel spelled backwards. It's the official 6-month mark to Christmas. And that's a good time to start listening to Christmas music.
Kind of a refresher. But, you know, today's discussion is not about Christmas, though it is about kind of the end of the year. Our last podcast, we were talking about what you should be thinking about when it comes to your sales tax planning for 2024. And this is definitely a familiar topic we talk about every year. And, you know, sales tax can be pretty complex, and just the frequency in which it changes and the laws regulating nexus and taxability and, you know, retail delivery fees. There's always something changing, something you've got to be aware of. And so we hope to cover some of that in today's podcast. But really, my question is, and I hope you guys can answer, is talk about the process of becoming compliant from start to finish, right? So you've realized, you know what, we should probably look at sales tax because we sell products and we're selling in multiple states. We need to start the process and get that taken care of. I found this survey from CFO.com. So these finance executives, it says 62% of surveyed finance leaders said tax and compliance, including sales tax, have become a bigger priority as many companies look to reduce costs and avoid penalties. And we talk a lot about sales tax being a margin killer, and it really can be. And if you're not prepared for what's ahead and you're ready to start looking at sales tax compliance, you may run into a lot of liability, and you may not know where to go from there. So, yeah. So the question is, what's the process start to finish? How long are we talking? And this is something you guys deal with every day.
You know, when you think about accountants and the word compliance, accountants always consider tax returns to be compliance, right? If you function or you specialize in compliance, you're specializing in completing returns. And that can be the case in sales tax, but sales tax compliance really encompasses more than just the monthly requirements to prepare and file a return and remit the taxes that you collected. It really is a process of learning how to comply with the various regulations and laws across multiple states. And so sales tax compliance really starts out with just the change in the landscape over the last, you know, goodness, 5.5 years. Now we're going on 6 years since Wayfair. And the real change has just been from complying with laws as it relates to where you conduct your business to where your customers are located, right? So now your compliance footprint, so to speak, or what we typically call a nexus footprint, spans across all states across the U.S. You might be doing business in Canada as well. And so when it comes to sales tax compliance, it's how do I set up a system of processes that make sure I'm not going to be penalized because I'm not complying with a responsibility to collect tax in a certain jurisdiction where that jurisdiction deems my participation there economically requires me to do so, or they can require me to do so because of this landmark case of Wayfair. And so just so everybody remembers what we're talking about here from the start forward is an ability to look at your business operations across the U.S., both physically, where you have a physical presence, because physical nexus is still a thing. You might have inventory or individuals or even contractors doing something on your behalf that creates a responsibility in a particular jurisdiction, a particular state, to collect and remit that tax. But in addition to that, you want to start looking at your sales transactions over the last calendar year or the last rolling 12 months. And what we call that on our end is a risk analysis. We call it a risk analysis because, like you said, the biggest tragedy in sales tax is you had the opportunity to collect tax at the time of the transaction and you didn't. And it came out of your own pocket with penalty and interest because it was paid later. And that can be a real margin killer because that may come out at 10, 20, 30%. And if your margins are lower than that, you've busted that margin.
Oopsies.
For all that time period, right? So first thing you got to consider is what we call a risk analysis. And that's to look at your business operations and understand where you might have a responsibility to collect and remit tax. And what you're trying to do is mitigate or avoid risk of liability or responsibility to pay those taxes out of your own pocket.
Yeah.
You want to make sure that you're set up correctly. So that's step one.
I find it interesting, Ryan, that you bring up the survey by CFO.com because, you know, a lot of times as we're talking with CFOs, CEOs, owners, even, you know, just the controllers or the VPs of accounting, we've talked about it before about how the tax department kind of gets left in the dark. But even before you can do a risk analysis, you first have to even understand the need, right? You have to recognize the problem. It's step one in the 12-step program of, hey, we do have a problem, right? You recognize that there's a need, that there's some urgency regarding compliance, regarding your sales tax obligation. And so sometimes that's alerting upper management, owners, officers, even all the way to the top of, hey, we need to address this. We really do have a need for sales tax compliance in our business.
So what do you think is the common duration of a risk analysis? You know, you've heard about Wayfair. You've heard some rumblings about sales tax. Your accountants say we don't like to deal with sales tax. But you know there could be something out there. You've heard about nexus. You've heard about economic nexus. You've heard these things, but you're not exactly sure. So, you know, what is, from a risk analysis standpoint, what's a typical timeline?
You know, it's surprising to me, even as we continue to talk with companies on a daily basis, that many companies think that this is a 3-month ordeal. But quite frankly, I mean, it's a really quick process. It doesn't take very long to identify. I mean, obviously, with the right resources, right? I mean, when I'm doing a home project if I don't have the right tool.
I don't mean to interrupt you. Wait. I mean
no,
to
you
interrupt
do mean
you.
To interrupt me.
I apologize for interrupting you. But are you trying to tell me that when using the word analysis or implementation, we're not talking about multiple months?
Well, if you're going to implement an actual solution or get software in place, yeah, you could talk. That's a longer process. I mean, it could take for sure upwards of 3 months.
Yeah,
I'm just talking about identifying, okay, you've heard of Nexus, you've heard of this responsibility, you're aware of the need. Okay, what exactly is that? And just gathering the information in place to know, okay, what do I need to do? Where do I need to register? Where do I really need to turn tax on? Where do I have Nexus? That risk analysis process that we go through, that we help companies go through, is a relatively quick process. It doesn't take months and months and months to figure this out and to get compliant. Obviously, there are many different facets to that, but the initial onboarding stages of getting all of this in place or recognizing, okay, here's the process. We need to collect tax in these 12 states. We need to get registered in these 12 states, and we need to start filing returns in these 12 states. Well, to do that, you're talking about just a matter of weeks.
Okay, yeah, so that recommendation can be made pretty quick.
Yeah.
If you have transactional data, the thresholds are pretty clear, right? The thresholds are pretty straightforward.
Right.
So you're just applying those Nexus thresholds, whether physical or economic,
right,
to your operations. And that right. process itself, you say, is a couple of weeks up to right. a month, maybe.
Right.
Okay. Yeah.
It doesn't have to be that quick, because what all you're doing is you're preparing all of the information to give to the right to the C-suite, to the owners, to the officers of the company, that say, hey, here's our need, or here's where we're lacking, and here's where we need to pay attention, or here's where we need to put in place some policies, some procedures of collecting tax, remitting tax, all of that, because that process generally is what bogs everything down. Hey, we've established Nexus in these 12 states, and we need to get registered, or we need to submit these VDAs. And then the officers of the company or the board or shareholders or whoever is making the decisions are like, well, that's great that you think that we have that liability, but nah, I don't want to deal with it. Or now let's just sweep that under the rug. We don't want to go through a 6-month VDA or a 3-month VDA or, let's just deal with it going forward. So that oftentimes can bottleneck that whole process.
Okay. So to your point, risk analysis or doing an analysis to understand what your responsibility is and where you might have Nexus could be weeks to a month. But then there's results to these, right? Now, in there's lots of ways that you can get that done too. There's some DIY approaches. There's some good interactive online platforms that you can use. I mean, we even have one on our website that you can go
right.
to. And you
For
can
sure.
look state by state, answer a couple of questions, and it can let you know you may or may not have a responsibility, but then it'll also share with you what the law is in that state and what the thresholds might be. So
yeah.
that's kind of the DIY approach, and then you can outsource it. In a fairly inexpensive way to get some yeah. just good, solid responses to understand. Now, the key to me is whether you do it DIY or you outsource it, it's the approach of having someone walk through the results is probably the most critical aspect, right? So
right.
now you've done this and you have results, and the results say a lot of things. You have
right.
responsibility in 5 jurisdictions or 5 states. Oh, you have responsibility in 35 states, right? It can be daunting when you see that. And then the next step really is to your point, get with the decision makers and determine what do we do, right?
Right.
And oftentimes there's 2 essential recommendations that are made: is get registered, or if you have a significant liability, because there's been a long period of time where you've had this responsibility and you haven't registered,
right,
then maybe you want to participate in a voluntary disclosure program,
yeah,
or an amnesty program if the state has one available,
yeah,
whichever,
yeah,
one might be more beneficial to you. That's going to, those efforts are to try to mitigate the actual amount of dollars out of your pocket,
yeah,
and limit how far back a state might be able to look.
Right.
So, I mean, you've seen that process play out in dozens, if not hundreds, of companies. And what does that process look like to you from a timeline standpoint?
Yeah, it's that decision-making process that oftentimes is the more time-consuming, it seems like, just because you have a lot of back and forth. You got some officers or owners that are more risk-averse, and they want to take a more risky approach in moving forward. Then you have some that are, you know, they're anticipating growth and then a merger or acquisition, you know, in year two or three. And so, hey, we want to make certain that we not only clean up the skeletons in the closet, but get rid of them, right? Let's just get it all into compliance. Or some others are like, nah, we're okay with what skeletons are in the closet. We believe that they'll eventually, you know, go away at some point, but we're just going to deal with it going forward. So as long as you're aware of what that liability is or what issues you have, and then, you know, everybody lives with issues, right? Their own dirt, their own problems, and some people are comfortable with those, and at some point they become too big or too burdensome, and we gotta get it taken care of or cleaned up. And so maybe taking part of an amnesty, a voluntary disclosure agreement will be an easy way to do that. But nobody likes to just be surprised. What the? That was there this whole time we had this? When, you know, under an audit situation, somebody comes knocking, hey, lady, we're going to come and audit your company. Oh, shoot, what are you going to find? I mean, you just don't want to come into an audit unprepared. And so as you do these analysis, at least on an annual basis, at least to just be made aware, then you could at least, you know, have a little bit more comfort and confidence in your obligation.
Yeah, so sometimes it, you know, it's just comes down to how agile a company might be, right? You might have decision makers who are aware that it would be a significant registration effort or, you know, an effort to get compliant through the VDA process or whatever the case may be. And they may be prepared for that. So they move quickly with that understanding. Sometimes when you see a due diligence or a merger or an acquisition, maybe somebody's wanting to do an IPO or whatever the case may be, there's a little more urgency and they have funds set aside to manage those situations, all the way up to a company who is just shell shocked by, you know, the response or the results. And, you know, they've been in three states for 30 years and now they need to be registered in 45 states.
Wait, what do you
more?
Mean?
And, you know, that can be overwhelming. So you may not be prepared to even move as quickly as you would like. So that timeline really depends on the agility of the company and what they're prepared to do based on the
results.
Sometimes
they've just grown too fast in too quick of a hurry, right? I mean, the business started in 2019 and it was just based in these one or three states, you know, but now it's, you know, that was 4 or 5 years ago now. And well, heck, where have we been? Like, you keep your head down, you're trying to increase revenue, increase profit, increase sales. I mean, the whole gamut. And then where did tax come in? Yeah, we haven't even been paying attention to it, you know?
Yeah. Well, so now you know what your responsibility is. Now you know the footprint. Now you have some recommendations, depending on how you act on those registrations or VDAs. Or we would never recommend putting your head in the sand and doing nothing, because the problem you have with sales tax, unless you just end the business, is you continue to accrue responsibility the longer you continue in business and don't comply, right? If it's deemed you have a responsibility, then the best thing you can do is comply by getting registered with the entity or getting compliant through some other program to try to mitigate cost that might come out of your own pocket. But getting to a point where you're authorized to collect and remit the tax, right? So if you're going to be authorized to collect and remit the tax, then a couple of things come up. You've got to determine taxability of your product or service across multiple jurisdictions now. Maybe it was just a few. You've got to be able to collect that tax at the accurate rate. And so if you're a high volume goods and services, you almost definitely want to find either, you know, if you're an e-commerce seller, a shopping cart that has attached to it some rate and taxability automation that happens in real time. Or if you don't have that, you want to be able to connect an automated solution to your ERP to be able to manage that process going forward. If you're a lower volume, maybe it's higher dollar, lower volume, you might be able to make some taxability determinations in a different way. Sure. You may not need an automated solution.
For sure.
But one way or the other, you got to have a solution to make sure you're collecting tax on items that you sell are taxable into the various jurisdictions where you have Nexus or you're registered. And you need to be able to do that at the correct rate. So
yeah.
Let's just say that it's, you know, it's an entity that is best suited with some sort of an automated solution. What does that look like as far as timeline to actually, this is when you start hearing words of implementation.
Right.
And you start saying, oh my goodness, yeah. This is going to be, you know, hundreds yeah. of thousands or millions of dollars. And it's yeah. going to be 2 years. You know, you just hear nightmare stories
yeah.
of people getting implemented. But the yeah. market on this is much, much better than it's ever been, right?
Yeah, for sure. There are a lot of software companies, a lot of engines that can integrate through an API connection. You know, we have AI all over the place now, and that's really helped make things a lot more efficient and a lot quicker to implement. And so at minimum, I would say you're looking at 30, 45 days minimum, but it could be upwards depending on the complexity of your situation, depending on what ERP system you're using. You know, are we just talking about QuickBooks, or are we talking about NetSuite? Are we talking about, you know, much larger ones? Like, what level are we dealing with? But on average, I would say your timeline to implement a rate and taxability engine is about 3 months, 3 or 4 months.
It's not nearly as costly or time consuming or scary as it used to be.
Yeah,
I mean,
for sure.
If you are a Fortune 100 company and you're running SAP, maybe.
Yeah.
But even the connectors and the transition into an automated solution is better even at the enterprise level than it's ever been. So
yeah, for sure.
It's you don't want to avoid identifying your responsibility because you think, at some point I'm going to have to get implemented on some
right.
platform.
Yeah.
I don't want to do that. So don't let that process keep you from that. But the one thing to remember when you're getting implemented like that is whether you utilize someone internally or you outsource it, you know, the ability for a platform or solution like that to actually get the taxability right, you actually have to map your products and services to
right.
a taxability code that's built into
right.
the solution that you're moving forward with.
Right.
And so you just have to remember most of the time, if not all the time, these automated solutions are software companies who do all of the research, but they're not
right.
going to advise you on what SKU goes to what
right.
taxability code. And
Correct.
So if there's a time-consuming component internally, it's making sure that you've categorized your goods and services and you're able to identify some taxability codes and feel confident
yep.
those taxability codes are going to answer. Because the automation...
Definitely be challenging.
Yeah, because the automated solution will... and I don't know how much they do this nowadays, but they'll indemnify you if their research is wrong. But if you've selected a code that doesn't match the SKU and the item that should be taxable that didn't get taxed is taxable in that state, but you didn't select the code which would tax it, you're not indemnified there.
Right.
You've got to select the best code available
to
ensure proper taxability.
I mean, you even think about it from a marketplace facilitator's perspective. If, you know, as a marketplace facilitator, Amazon's required to collect and remit the tax on behalf of the seller, right? But if I tell Amazon that I'm selling dietary supplements, or vice versa, if I'm selling widgets and I tell Amazon that I'm selling a dietary supplement, well, or a food, you know, you just get it completely wrong, and Amazon didn't charge tax because of how it was set up or configured. I mean, amen to that. I mean, it really comes back to you as the seller. But to your point, if you set it up correctly, and again, depending on the complexity of your products or services that you're selling, definitely can be challenging. But if you set it up correctly and it's working fine, I mean, even the states will indemnify you if you're using a specific rate provider's taxability engines because of their relationship and connection with them. So
let me offer this. Let me offer this Captain Obvious tip to people who might be listening. If you determine through your own review of your responsibility that you need to get registered and you pursue the course of getting registered, you don't get registered and then determine what your platform is going to be. You need to be working those simultaneously, right? If you know you're going to need to get registered in multiple states, go ahead and start getting the automated solution or whatever your internal process is going to be to make sure that you can begin collecting tax as soon as possible on those sales.
Definitely.
The registration could take you a few days. It could take you a few months. It depends on the state and the situation. And whatever you indicate is that effective date of collecting tax, you want to make sure that you have the ability to collect that tax.
Definitely.
In that period. So.
And a lot of people even are hesitant to, you know, get that engine in place and start collecting tax before they get registered. We've seen it done both ways, where you get registered and then you figure it out. You know, the downside there is you get registered and you haven't the ability to collect the tax, or you don't have the ability to collect the tax, right? So now you're reporting sales and potentially paying tax out of your own pocket if you're self-assessing because you didn't collect it from the customer, or you're just reporting nil returns. Well, what's worse, reporting nil returns because you didn't have the ability of collecting tax at the time of transaction, or collecting the tax because you had an excess but you weren't registered to report the tax? Well, if you're aware that you have a triggered nexus and you have that responsibility, then turn the tax on sooner rather than later, as soon as possible, right? The best time to build or to plant a tree is just 20 years ago. Anyway, that whole analogy. In this instance, you want to start collecting tax sooner rather than later because you've established nexus. And then you can worry about getting registered. But I'll give you pause there, because we do run into companies who have been collecting tax for a year or more, and they haven't been remitting it. And, you know, if found collecting tax and not remitting it, it could be fraudulent. So, yeah, there is some hesitancy there. But knowing that you're getting the engine in place to collect the tax, and knowing that you're getting compliant or you're working to get registered. If you're trying to get registered in Canada, you can expect to get registered in 3 months, you know, but you're collecting the tax while the registration is happening, type of a thing. That's, in my opinion, a whole lot more important than registering first and then dealing with, okay, are my products even taxable? What do we need to collect tax on? Yeah, all of that rigmarole is, you know, it seems like you're putting the cart before the horse, if you will.
Listen, I'm surprised too. Let me just tell everybody, if you run a chart of accounts or you run a trial balance across your accounts, and you note that your sales tax payable account keeps growing every month through the last year or two, you have something you need to look at.
And you got to recognize the problem there. That's the problem. That's a problem for sure.
If it's not going down, it's not getting remitted. So, yeah. Let's chat. Let's figure out what needs to be done there. But it's very likely that you need to be registered somewhere and remitting that tax. It does happen because people proactively get set up on a system. And they'll come to us and say, I didn't even know the tax was turned on. I don't even know who turned tax on. Right?
It's true.
I have this system, but it's not going to collect tax on anything until you map those codes Or maybe you didn't map any code. You just
defaulted
on
to
tax.
All taxable.
Yeah. So it's taxing everything that's going out the door, possibly even stuff that's not taxable.
Yeah.
Sometimes we find that, a company found out about it because somebody got taxed and they knew that tax wasn't due on what they acquired. And so they call the company complaining. And so the company starts looking into that and they're like, it looks like we are collecting tax on everything.
Sometimes it's just because you had turnover, right? In accounting or accounts payable or whatever the case may be. And they're like, hey, we're not even separating the sales tax that we're collecting into a payable account. It's going to revenue. And now marketing and sales is like, oh, we got all this extra money. Let's just go market and sell more and more.
Or you got the wrong person involved.
Oof.
You know, they're going through the software and they're like, oh, I wonder what this does. And they just turn it on, see what happens.
Yeah.
Anyway. Implementation, obviously, when it comes to a platform, it could be as simple as being connected to a shopping cart that already has the technology built in.
Right.
Right.
For sure.
That's simple, but it could be a larger project. So it could be a month. It could be 3 months. In really large situations, it could be longer than that. But it is better and better than we've ever seen it. As far as how implementation goes. So
for sure.
All right. So once you figure out where you need to be registered, you get compliant by getting registered or going through a VDA, and you have the system in place and you're collecting tax. Now you have the daunting responsibility to meet the monthly or quarterly requirements of those returns being filed. And, you can build that up internally. You could get some software and manage that. You can outsource that. From our experience, to get somebody set up who's already registered, who's already collecting tax, maybe they do it internally. Maybe they have another outsource solution. But when they're coming to us to either outsource it or switch solutions, what type of timeline are we looking at to get somebody up and running to be able to prepare the proper forms in the proper jurisdictions and get those remitted on a timely fashion?
Yeah, in that instance, my standard response is 30 to 60 days, just because the last thing you want to do is cause ripples or cause flags to be raised at the state level. Hey, we were filing this return, and now we're all of a sudden we're filing this return and reporting tax this way. Or, hey, you used to take your sales for resale deduction and now there are no deductions, or you're taking this weird deduction and, that's not meant for your NICS code or your SEC code or whatever that may be. So the last thing you want to do is cause any changes unnecessarily that you're not aware of. So you want to keep the waters still, if you will. You want to keep everything status quo and moving forward, and so that's why we like a 30 to 60 day implementation, just to make certain that all the same buttons are flipped or pushed. All of the same things are happening. Or the returns are being filed in the same manner, the same forms. Your frequencies stay the same. I mean, states are reviewing and changing those. So you want to make certain that you don't miss any of those returns as well. So, we've obviously have done implementations less than 30 days, but to many people's surprise, it doesn't take as long as they anticipate there either.
So we're in mid-December. So let's say I've always been a fan of starting up or changing providers or outsourcing an internal process that is being outsourced. At the beginning of a year, a quarter, is a good time to start. So in mid-December, what you're saying to me, or what I think you're saying, or what I'm saying back to you, what I think I'm hearing, if somebody comes to you and says, hey, listen, we really want you guys to start handling our sales tax in 2024. We want you to prepare and file our returns for us. Knowing that you always are filing the month following, or the month following the month, or the month following the quarter of activity. Right. If somebody came today, is that what you mean by 60 days? Like legitimately, if we wanted to start handling transactions that occur on 1-1 of 24, we really would be required to file those actual returns in February or even in April for the first quarter. And we would be able to implement something like that in that type of a time period.
Yeah. So if you're looking for somebody to file your returns for the 12/31 period end, last week was the ideal time to look, right? just because of the transition period. If my returns group was alerted to the fact that they had to take on a new account in January and they had to implement it at the end of December on Christmas break or the first week of January after New Year's to do the returns the following week, I mean, there's just not enough time to get everything right, more times than not. And so, gotcha. Yeah, if you're looking to make a transition or a change, I agree to do it at the beginning of a year or the beginning of a quarter. Again, you're filing the returns due in the month following. So all your December transactions are going to be reported on the December return, which is due to be filed in mid-January or end of January, depending on the month. So,
but let me say this about outsourcing. A lot of times people feel like switching providers is like this scary implementation model. If you're unhappy or you're settling or you're really frustrated, my recommendation to you is look at your agreement and look at the term of your agreement, and 90 days before renewal or 90 days before the expiration of that agreement, start talking to other individuals, maybe even 120 days before, so that you have time to cancel that agreement and move into a different situation.
Yeah.
Oftentimes people feel stuck and then renewal comes around and you're stuck again, right?
Right.
Because you need to be able to give some notice. But there are some really great steps. And I believe if we don't have a blog or we haven't done a podcast or one or the other, there's information out there on how easy it actually can be and what the steps are. But so many people, I just concern for individuals who are just frustrated with their solution and they settle for it and may not know that there really is a better way. You can have greater confidence and peace of mind and really step away from it, right? Not feel like you have to continually track it because issues and problems keep creeping up. Anyway, just want to put that out
100%.
There.
100%.
So let me kind of summarize this a little bit, and you guys can help me out here. But if you're doing it on your own, let's say do it yourself. So you look at your nexus and taxability, you're doing your risk analysis, then you turn around and you've got to get the decision makers to actually act on it, and then you implement it. You could use this could be like a 4 to 6 month process. I think that's what people could expect, and there's going to be a lot of hiccups along the way. And if you're not experienced, it could even take longer. But when you're talking your 30 to 60 day implementation, I mean, assuming everything goes right. The bottleneck of the decision makers signing the agreement, it could be 30 to 60 days. But this isn't like 30 to 60 days that, the in-house CPA or CFO or controller, whoever's going to be working it, how much time is it going to take for them? I mean, how much time is it going to be sucking from their available time? Not much, right?
Well, it depends on who's managing the process, right?
Yeah.
You hope that the CFO or the tax manager or the SALT manager or whoever's overseeing that, it's not a significant time gap for them. But it can be if they're trying to do it all internally. And yeah. Sometimes it can be frustrating if you're the lone ranger trying to make all of this happen while you get pushback from the decision makers. Right. And nobody ever comes to the tax department and says, wow, what a great period of return filing. I mean, they only are concerned when they get that notice or something pops up or the surprise.
Notified of an audit.
And it's like, why didn't you guys know about this? Why is it not being done? So
they go to sell the company and they got this liability.
Nobody rewards perfection, but they punish strongly, you know, any mistakes. And so that can be frustrating for an accounting professional within an organization. And you really do want an outside party maybe that you can bounce things off of or collaborate with. And to that point, Pizer Johnson, we're not trying to hard sell you on the services that we offer, but we do want to hear from you because we're happy to jump on a call and walk through different scenarios or situations that you're facing, collaborate a little bit, and have you walk away with more confidence or peace of mind when it comes to some of the decisions that you're making, especially when you're the Lone Ranger making the decisions for a company.
Right.
And the decision makers really aren't in your court, so to speak.
Yeah. And I think, you know, every company is unique and their timeline will be different.
For sure.
But when you do outsource and you come to somebody like us, it can definitely be a much smoother process. A lot more learning can happen, and you can be a lot less frustrated in the process. So we would love to chat with you and see what we can do to help. We don't charge anything for that initial call to figure out what next steps would be. And we love the complicated situations and we love helping people. So thank you everybody for tuning in, listening in. And I hope your holidays are great. Please reach out to us at info@pj.tax with any emails, concerns. You can also chat with us live on our website. But again, Jason and Paul, thank you so much for taking the time to go through this process. And I think it'll be an incredibly helpful resource to those who are looking to tackle their sales tax in 2024.
Good.
Happy to be with you.
Good.
Take care, guys.
Thanks for having us.